This is remarkable. You could have fallen in with the wrong crowd back then. And there was something upstairs here that said, no, this is the wrong way, and I just need to get out of here.
I don't have any idea what it was. It was perhaps luck. But I attributed an awful lot of that to my wanting to get an education and get a better life through education. I think that was the biggest motivation of any, is that early on I developed a voracious reading habit. It enlightened me, you know, as you know from reading, as you're a reader, it just enlightened me to all sorts of possibilities that were never a part of the discussion, me or my friends even very much back then.
Did your mother, I mean, she had a short education. Did she talk about high school and college and wanting you to move on?
Never a doubt in her mind. They were both, even though my father could neither read nor write, they were both very encouraging about me attempting to improve myself through education. My dad used to say, if you don't get an education, you'll wind up just like I am. And she, on the other hand, had no doubt. I was pretty doubtful, but she didn't. She said, you're as bright and as smart. And, of course, she thought brighter and smarter than anyone else. You can do exactly what you want to as far as getting an education. And that was very encouraging.
Then there comes a point where your family moves from Clayton to Blanchard.
Very briefly, right during the depths of the Depression, my dad had sort of faltered, as everybody had, on crops and what few cattle we had. So we all loaded up in a bobtail truck. I got to ride in the front. My other brothers and sisters had to just kind of snuggle down in all the covers and bedding and everything and drove to Blanchard. For what reason it was selected, I'll never know. Our fortunes did not improve any in Blanchard right during that. So I can remember to this day, my dad could not pay for the truck. And they came and recovered it, and he had a few horses that he was trading on, trying to make a living. As I now understand, and then understood pretty well, he had them all mortgaged. You know, all the horses were mortgaged, and he traded on them and sold them. Before very long, we weren't in Blanchard more than about a year, a little over a year. The horses were all gone, and the banks had not been paid. So he was in violation of the law for selling mortgaged property. So we headed back to southeastern Oklahoma in a wagon, another top wagon, with two horses. That's all we had. We got all the way to Tallahena. We're camped beside a creek. Now, it's surprising, but I can remember some of this pretty well. I was asleep, but the police from that county, the sheriff's office, they arrested my father and left my mother with four kids beside the creek out there with two horses and a top wagon and absolutely no income whatsoever. She was magnificent, of course. She moved us into a little cabin on an adjoining place there by permission of the landowners, who furnished us an opportunity to get into the garden and even put us to work at a sorghum mill in exchange for food and stuff like that. And hitchhiked all over southeastern Oklahoma to raise enough money to make bail for my father. And this was among friends who didn't have anything either, you know, and it was a very great chore. But she finally bailed him out, and then we moved on to Antlers. We attended school in Tallahena, but only for a short period of time.
This memory of your father being arrested there, about 6 or 7 years old, mm-hmm. You would have been?
I was.
That had to be a frightening.
I was in the second grade at Tallahena when that happened, but we moved on to Antlers, and I enrolled in the second grade, so I was 7 years old at the time.
That had to be a frightening experience.
Yeah, it was. It was disturbing now, but as I say, my mother was so wonderful that she never did let us think of giving up. You know, she was always... It's kind of a confusing time, but we're gonna make it. And sure enough, we did.
You were a hunting enthusiast, and we'll get into that later. But back then, for entertainment, you were probably out shooting rabbits and squirrels.
We hunted in the wood and gathered vegetables in neighboring garden where they permitted us to. We worked in the sorghum mill. I remember the little cabin we lived in had no screens of any kind, no doors even. I mean, it was just a vacant cabin that we could get in out of the rain. But, you know, we had three siblings, and we all enjoyed each other, and my mother was a delight to be around. So it wasn't all that bad, believe it or not.
Did your mother refer to these rabbits as
Hoover hogs? When we were in Blanchard, primarily, there was an abundance of jackrabbits running all over. They just kind of invaded the countryside. And at night, that was before we lost the truck, they'd drive out on the prairies and just shoot washtubs full of jackrabbits. We'd bring them home, and she'd cook them and can them. And she referred to them as Hoover hogs because they were pretty critical of President Hoover along about that time, as you might imagine. It was a pretty tough time.
It was a tough time. The Depression was on, and you were, in a way, lucky you were living close to the land and thereby able to
get along pretty well.